Parshas Emor, Bruchim Aboyim, welcome back everyone for our weekly share. Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach. Tonight we will not be looking at the Parsha, but rather at the upcoming Yom Tov of Lag BaOmer, which is Mitzvah Hashem next Monday night. Of course, on Lag BaOmer, the focus very much becomes on Reb Shimon ben Yochai, who, according to some sources, albeit not all, the Yahrzeit, his Yom Hilula, which some explain to mean the Yahrzeit, falls out on Lag BaOmer, is a source of tremendous celebration in Klal Yisrael for various reasons. That certainly is not out. I'd like to look, Be'ezus Hashem, at one very particular point, which is a famous point, and that is the famous issue of no rainbow. No rainbow was ever seen in the days of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. And that's the topic tonight, Be'ezus Hashem. If you go back to Parashas Noach, which is, of course, the Parasha of the rainbow, following the Mabul, Noach emerges from the Teva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu produces the Ois HaBris. The Ois HaBris, which is going to be forevermore, a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never ever again ruin the world. He'll never bring destruction to the world with a Mabul, even if the people in the world, that particular Dor, may well be deserving of a punishment as such, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm making a promise, Ois HaBris. And that was demonstrated by the rainbow, such that, as we know, and this is reflected la halacha, a rainbow, as pretty as it may be, is not actually a very positive sign. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that you're not supposed to really stare at a rainbow. You look at it, you make a bracha, but don't look at it too much. The Mishnah Berurah says you should not tell others that there is a rainbow, because essentially it's not an exciting phenomenon at all. To the contrary, it's really indicative of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu perhaps saw fit that the world deserves to be destroyed. He won't, however, destroy it because of the bris that he made with Noach, and that's demonstrated. Either way, if you look in that pasuk in Parashas Noach in Perek Tes, there is a strange word, or at least it's a common word, but it's spelled in a strange way. Because it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes an ois bris, which will be with you, ledoirois oilom. Ledoirois clearly means forever, for every generation. And we would, of course, expect that ledoirois should be spelled Lamed, Dalad, Vav, Reish, Vav, Sof, and yet both Vavs are actually missed. It's spelled in the Torah Lamed, Dalad, Reish, Sof. No Vavs at all, and Rashi picks up on this, quoting Chazal. Why is the word Doirois written Choser? Because actually it's not. Because there were Doirois, there were generations where a rainbow was not necessary. For example, the generation of Chizkiyahu, the Doirois shall Rav Shimon ben Yoy. This is what Rashi quotes, Mokoyriz Chazal. It could well be, of course, that if there were two generations in which the rainbow didn't appear, that's why there's two Vavs which are missed out. So it's not merely Choser, but there are two letters that are omitted, which correspond to the two generations of Chizkiyahu HaMelech and Rav Shimon ben Yochai. So either way, here we know that in the times of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, a rainbow was never ever. And this is mentioned elsewhere in Chazal, it's a Medrash in Tehillim, where it says, Shekol Yomov, all of the days of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Loi Niraso HaKeshes. The rainbow was never to be. So we'd like to discuss, what is the significant fact that the rainbow was never seen in the times of Rav Shimon ben Yochai? Now clearly, the simplest pshat, the emistic of pshat, if we said that the rainbow is always indicative of the fact that essentially the world deserved destruction, if there was no rainbow ever seen in the times of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, then of course that is a great compliment to the life and times of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. Clearly, the world never deserved destruction as long as Rav Shimon ben Yochai was alive. That is, of course, the most simple pshat. I saw a quite remarkable pshat, however, in the Shlo HaKadosh, in Parashas Noach, quoting the Ramah. A wonderful, wonderful. We know that a rainbow appears when it rains. The sunlight shines through the rain, and of course the light from the sun is diffracted into the seven colors, the spectrum, which therefore must mean by definition that you can only have a rainbow at daytime and you cannot have a rainbow at night. At night, there's no sun. And Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah actually says so clearly. Ein keshes elo bayoy. You can only have a rainbow at daytime. If it rains at night, well, there's no sun. Well, then clearly the sunlight cannot be diffracted because there is no sun. Says the Shlo, quoting the Ramah. Don't we all remember Rashi right at the beginning of Parashas Bechukosai? In Bechukosai teilechu ves mitzvosai tishmoiru. What's the first bracha there? V'nosati geshmechem be'itom. It'll rain in the right time. When is the right time? You remember the Rashi? Rashi says, be'itom means Friday night. I'm saying Wednesday, which means therefore, if Klal Yisrael are keeping mitzvahs, when will it rain? Only at night time. Well, if it only ever rains at night, there can never be a rainbow. And therefore, if in the times of Rav Shimon ben Yochai a rainbow was never seen, that is, of course, the greatest proof that Klal Yisrael were being oisin ritzonei shel mokim. They were clearly keeping Torah mitzvahs. It only, therefore, rained on two occasions, either on Friday night or Wednesday night. But either way, it's only at night. And if it rains at night, there's no rainbow. And in fact, the Shlok concludes, and that's what it means, he says, Shekol Yomov shel Rav Shimon ben Yochai. All the days of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, there was never a rainbow. And the emphasis here is on the days. On the days of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, there was never a rainbow. Do you know why? Because it never rained. It never rained during the day. It only ever rained at night time, because that's the promise. That's the Haftocha, Rashi quotes, it's on in Tanis. There's only ever rainfall at night time when Klal Yisrael are performing mitzvahs. Well, then by definition, there'll never be a rainbow. A wonderful chat in the Shloh, quoting the Ramah. There could be an additional Nakuda here, and then Be'ez Hashem will get to our final chat, which is really the main topic. The Chassam Sefer, in many places, Al HaTorah, and most famously, in the introduction to the Tshuvas to Yeridea, we've quoted it on previous occasion, shares with us a very, very profound and very fundamental yisur. There are some tzaddikim who indeed invest their lives in climbing and growing and becoming closer to our Kodesh, but they neglect the spiritual needs of those around. Those people, Sefer, are not essentially kayim true rotzen of a... The true tzaddik, the complete tzaddik, a classic example, says the Chassam Sefer, is of course Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu not only excelled himself in his ruchnias, but he dedicated his life to be makariv, as the Rambam writes. Tens of thousands of talmidim he had. That's the perfect... That's the tzaddik who's investing not only in his own ruchnias, but also in the ruchnias of others. In fact, the Torah talks about Chanoich, right in the beginning of the Torah. Chanoich was an Ish Elohim. And the Chassam Sefer says, as much as that sounds perhaps complimentary, that's actually not. Because if you're an Ish or Elohim, you're so spiritual, you're involved in only your own spiritual needs, but not in the needs of others, that's not the perfect tzaddik. And in the words of the Chassam Sefer, Loi Be'ela Hashem. That's not the tzaddik. This is the Yesod we've mentioned on many, many occasions. If so, I think, therefore, there is an added depth to the fact that there was no rainbow in the times of Rav Shimon. As mentioned, in order for there to be no rainbow, it must have meant that Klal Yisrael were keeping Torah or mitzvah. So the world never needed destruction. Tremendous chidush. Do you know why it's a chidush? Because Rav Shimon ben Yochai was in the cave for years upon years upon years upon years, as we'll soon discuss in a moment. 13 years in total. You may well have thought, therefore, that Rav Shimon ben Yochai, who was in isolation for so long, what did he do when he came out of it? Did he continue to be in isolation? Did he continue to excel only in his own ruchnias? This is the chidush. The chidush is that actually, if in the life and times of Rav Shimon ben Yochai there was no rainbow, which means that all of Klal Yisrael were keeping mitzvah, that's testimony to the fact that Rav Shimon ben Yochai, albeit, was for so long in solitude there in the cave, but when he eventually came out, clearly he invested in other people's ruchnis as well. Clearly he influenced an entire generation and ensured that not only did he become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but so did the rest of his generation as well, such that there was never a rainbow in his life. And all of Klal Yisrael were keeping Torah Umit. And therefore, specifically with Rav Shimon ben Yochai, this is a great compliment and a great shvach. Do not think for a moment that Rav Shimon ben Yochai in the cave for so long, that's how he spent his whole life, just alone. No, he was like Avraham. He indeed was mashpia on others as well, such that all of Klal Yisrael was keeping Torah or mitzvahs, and the world therefore never needed to be this. There was never a... But a fourth and final point discussed, a simple chat that if there was no rainbow, then clearly his doi were keeping mitzvahs. We've discussed the Ramah that there was no rainbow because it never rained at day. And we've discussed this third point that Rav Shimon ben Yochai clearly in whole generation. But what I'd like to share with you in conclusion is a most magnificent pshat, which I actually heard in the shul that some of you daven in today, in the Gross Shul maybe 20 years ago. On one Shabbos afternoon, we were zeicher to hear a drosha by Rav Chaim Feuer. Rav Chaim Feuer is the son-in-law of Ramotcha Gifter, the Tol of Rosh Hashiva, the Tzaddik. And he quoted there in the name of his father-in-law, Ramotcha Gifter, who in turn quoted in the name of his great Rebbe, the Tol Zerov, Hashem Yimkoim Domei. Ramotcha Gifter, as we know, albeit American, born and bred, but he learned in Telz. Va'ad Seif Yomov, he always considered his great Rebbe to be the Telzerov. He used to quote him. So here, Rav Feuer was quoting his father-in-law, who quoted his Rebbe, the Telzerov, a most wonderful chat in the significance of the fact that there was never a rainbow in the times of... We all know the story. Rav Shimon ben Yochai is forced into hiding, escaping from the government at the point of death. So he runs into the cave together with his son, Rabbi Elazar. There they remain. They survive miraculously. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends them food and water. And as we know, what do they do in the cave? Obviously, nothing else but study the secret. And we can well imagine that for years and years, over a decade in total, 12 years, they continue to climb and climb and grow in their ruchnias and become higher and higher and closer to Hashem. Eventually, it's time for them to leave the cave. Rav Shimon ben Yochai, what does he first encounter? He sees somebody who is working the land. And Rav Shimon ben Yochai cannot... Manichin chaye oilom, v'oiskin b'chaye shor. Why are these people working the land? Why are they oisik in chaye shor, in temporary investment? Why are they not oisik in Torah, in chaye oilom? Kol mokoim, says the Gemara, everywhere he looked, miyad nisraf, everything and everyone. He was on such a lofty spiritual level. He was so ruchni that he couldn't possibly see somebody being oisek in the land, which he considered to be chaye shor. He looks at him, one gaze, and he's burnt to a crisp. So all of a sudden, a heavenly voice emerges. Yotzav baskoil, you exited the cave to ruin my world. Chizru lema'araschem, go back into the cave. It's a danger, a hazard to society. Go back into the cave. And they remained in the cave for another year, until eventually the Baskoil emerged once again. Now the time has come to exit. The Tel Zerov asked a remarkable question. Wasn't cave the problem in the first? Wasn't the cave the place where Rav Shimon ben Yochai had reached such exalted levels of ruchnias? That's why he couldn't tolerate people working the land. What on earth is the point in sending him back into the cave? I would have thought the last place you should send Rav Shimon ben Yochai is back into the cave. That was the whole problem. Surely if you send him back into the cave, what's going to be? He's only going to continue to climb in ruchnias. No? Can you imagine how bad it's going to be when he comes out second time round? Why would you send him back to the cave knowing full well that the cave was the problem in the first place and the cave is only going to further his ruchnias and he's going to reach even higher levels of ruchnias? That's not going to solve the problem. So the Tel Zerov says a phenomenal pshat, Rabbi Isa. Rav Shimon ben Yochai reached such a high level of ruchnias that he couldn't tolerate somebody working the land. Said the Baskoil, go back into the cave and continue to grow in ruchnias. And when you reach an exalted level, even a higher level of ruchnias, you'll come out and then you will be able to tolerate people working the land, because that's a higher level of ruchnias. To be able to have that understanding that whilst Rav Shimon ben Yochai, indeed his tafkid is to be oisek b'chaye oilom, to have that understanding that other people have a higher level of ruchnias. Rav Shimon ben Yochai, we've discussed this on previous occasions, he's the one who tells us in the Gemara in Brochas, you're not supposed to work the land. But safta de gonecha? What do you mean? Torah! Matehe olah! What's going to be with Torah? You're 100% right, but only for people like Rav Shimon. You need to be on a higher level yet to appreciate that some people indeed must be oisek hayesha. But Kodesh Baruch Hu says, of course, we're talking about Rav Shimon ben Yochai, we have to be so careful the way we speak about him. But on his very dakistika level, you've reached a very high madrega. You've reached a madrega in which you can't tolerate, you can't understand, you can't appreciate that somebody's working the land. Go back into the cave, you'll continue to grow in your ruchnias, you'll reach a higher level, and then you will be able to stand. Somebody else's tafkid is indeed to be oisek chayesha, higher level of ruchnias. Said the Tel Zerov in conclusion, unbelievable pshat. What is the rainbow all about? What's a rainbow? Do you know what a rainbow? A rainbow is pure white light. It then becomes diffracted into different colors, and that's, of course, the lesson that Klal Yisrael too. We all come from one Sheirish. We all come from everyone in the Shoma Elokim Mimal. And then it's true. People are colors. Klal Yisrael is diffracted, and some are red, and some are orange, and some are yellow, etc. The lesson of the rainbow is indeed to teach us that what? There are some who are red, Oisik Bechaya Oilom, and there's some who are indigo, and some who are purple, and some who are violet, and they have different colors. And that's their tafkid in Avodas Hashem. That's the ultimate lesson of the rainbow. We all come from one pure sunlight. And then, after that, after we become refracted, what happens? Different drachim. In Avodas said that was a rob. In the times of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, there was never a rainbow. Do you know why? Because Rav Shimon ben Yochai didn't need. He'd already been taught that lesson when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him back in. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him back into the cave, he'd had been taught. That was the lesson of the rainbow. He had been taught, therefore, go back into the cave and understand that different people in Klal Yisrael have different tafkidim. So you don't need to be shown the rainbow. The rainbow's lesson is that there are different colors in Klal Yisrael. Rav Shimon ben Yochai had already learned that. By virtue of the fact that he'd been sent back into the cave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had clearly taught him the lesson that yes, some people are red, some are orange. So that's what I heard 20 years ago from Rav Foyer in the name of Rav Gifta, quoting his Rebbe that tells a quite remarkable pshat. Wasn't the cave the problem in the first place? It was. So go back into the cave, climb higher in Ruchnias and appreciate that different Klal Yisrael of different Afgidim. That's the lesson of the rainbow. He was taught it there and then. It was never necessary again. Somebody once came to the Chofetz Chaim and he asked the Chofetz Chaim, he said, can't we make a decision once and for all? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? Hasidim, Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, Litvish? Which is the correct derech? Let's make a decision and everybody should be doing that. So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, my dear friend, tell me, the army general, what does he need? Does he need a navy? Or does he need an air force? Or does he need infantry? Or does he need cavalry? And the answer is, he needs them all. They're all playing their combined role. Every derech, so does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need this derech, or that derech, or the other derech? Every derech in Yiddishkeit is a valid. And this has really always been the story of Klal Yisrael, right from the outset. 12 tribes, not one tribe. 12 tribes, each one with their flag, each one with their own colored stone in the Choshen, each one with their individual path in Kriyas Yamsuf, each one with their inheritance and their land in Eretz Yisrael, and each one assembled round the bed of Yaakov Avinu, and each one got a separate brocha. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out that when Yaakov Avinu calls his son, in Parshas Vayechi it says, he kovtsu v'shomu, gather and listen. What does that mean? Gather. All 12 of them were present when they got brachas. But why did they all have to be present? Why didn't he call in one by one and have the other 11 waiting in the waiting room? Why would I need to hear 11 other brachas that are not relevant, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, because Yaakov Avinu was building Klal Yisrael over here. And he was setting out right from the outset, each one of you has a different tafkid. Each one of you, therefore, will receive a different bracha, and it's critical that each of you understand. Therefore, you must all be present when you hear that other people get other bracha. Because their derech in Avodas Hashem is different. Therefore, they need a different orchestra. Imagine you have a magnificent 80-piece orchestra. If they were all playing the same thing, the beautiful sound of any would never be. The reason why it produces such a magnificent sound, because they're all doing their thing. Of course, we must point out that this is a very dangerous message, because we have suffered, and we suffer until today, from those who distort message. Every derech in Avodas Hashem is a legitimate one, so can't we have DIY Yiddishkeit? Make it up as you go along? Distort the rules of the Torah? Reform the Torah? It's always been the Gedolei Yisrael, and only the Gedolei Yisrael, who were able to see with their vision that we call Das Torah, that some movement over the course of times, who masqueraded as authentic Yiddishkeit, were anything but. And if you can imagine, if you have two exactly parallel lines, and as long as they continue, they will forever be parallel to each other. But they're misaligned. Even by the smallest fraction of a percentage point, they may well look to the naked eye as absolutely parallel. But if you measure them carefully with very specialized apparatus, you'll see that actually they're not. It may not make a difference over here, but they'll just continue to get further and further and further. And that's the vision of Gedolei Yisrael. We look back at some of the various movements that have made, unfortunately, painful and tragic inroads into Klal Yisrael, and several of them, when they were initially founded, were not necessarily frowned upon by the masses. Gedolei Yisrael made a machon nimretz, and we look back 50 or 100 or 200 years, and we say, "Kamo gedolim divrecha." The great Chasam Sofer, on one occasion, on a Shabbos Hagadol Rosh, can you imagine? Hundreds and hundreds of people packed the shul, the yeshiva, to hear the drasha of the great Chasam Sofer, the leader of all of Klal Yisrael. No? What's the Chasam Sofer going to talk about in his Shabbos HaGadol drasha? Surely matzahs or Pesach or Hagolas Kelim, Sipis Yitz Mitzrayim. Do you know what he spoke about? Kitni. The minig of the Ashkenazim not to eat kitni. And it's a rather bizarre minhag. Because nowadays, all agree that essentially, there's no reason why you should avoid eating kidneys. There once used to be a chashash chometz. There isn't anymore. It's not an issa d'oraisa. It's not even a derabanan. It's a minhag. So that's what the Chasam Sofer has to talk about in his Shabbos HaGadol Rosh. But after his lengthy pilpul on the strip kidneys, then came the fire and brimstone grand finale of his drosha. The reform movement at the time were very, very wise. They knew that in order to make inroads into Klal Yisrael, you cannot come along and say, let's be mevatel the Shabbos. Let's change the nusach of the tefillah. Let's have women davening at the kosel wearing talis and tefillin. That would never be accepted. They were very clever. What did they say? We're absolutely authentic Yiddishkeit. You don't need to liquidate it. It doesn't apply anymore. So the Chasam Sofer, with his great vision, the Einei Ha'eda, he saw that this line of Yiddishkeit is not parallel. It's not parallel. And if it's not parallel, then it's not an alternative. Derech in Yiddishkeit, terrible pirates, as it begins with kidney. And look what it ends. Nobody now, looking back 200 years ago, questions why the Chasam Sofer made a machar. Now we see it clearly. But you need a Gadol B'Yisrael to... And therefore, if we learn the lesson of the rainbow well, it's true. There are seven colors, but they're all parallel to each other. The lines never cross. They never become misaligned. Just like the orchestra. Yes, they're all doing different things, but they're all got their eyes on the conductor. When the Chofetz Chaim said that the army general wants the infantry and the navy and the air force as one Tanai, that they're all following the instructions of the army general and does their thing the way they see it, that's no longer an army. It's a danger to the trying to... So yes, indeed, the lesson that we learn from the rainbow is to appreciate that there are different drachim and avodas Hashem. There are the Rav Shimon ben Yechai's of this world, but there are those who are Isaac Chaye Shor as well. Red, orange, yellow, condition, on absolute condition, that they're all parallel to each other. That everyone is following absolutely every sif in Shulchan Aruch and every sif cotton in Mishnah Brura. Because if you mavatl one solitary sif cotton in the Mishnah Brura, even if it's just, quote-unquote, the minig of kitni, which is not a deiraisa nor a derabonon, it's a minag. But look where that takes you. It's the non-parallel line just gets further and further and further. When indeed it's parallel, it's Kodesh Kodshim. It might be a different death. But if it's parallel to mine, it's Kodesh Kodshim. Unfortunately, we live in an age where very often people are quick to be judgmental. Somebody once told me that, what does the word frum mean? F-R-U-M. So on one side you have F-R, far right. And on the other side you have M, modern. And what's in the middle? You. You're in the middle, I'm perfect. And everybody else is either too far right, they're fundamentalist, or they're too modern, they're too this, they're too that. And we don't appreciate. What about the 12 shvatim gathered round Yaakov Avinu's every color of the rainbow, in the choshen, in their degel? These are the days that we're trying to be mesaken the chet of Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva, shaloi nagu kovoid zeh bezeh, didn't appreciate you. But he's not the same as me, but he doesn't have to. If he's parallel to you, if his derech in Avodas Hashem is parallel to yours, then it's Kodesh Kodshim. That's our Avodah on Yemei Ha'ayim, to appreciate the lesson. There can be people who are dressed different, so that's not what they are. That's the way they... We shouldn't be looking at the way people dress. Let's not look at their clothes, but let's look at their lev and their neshama and appreciate. Chmona, liba, boy. They're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their way. And if indeed it's parallel to us, keeping every sif in Shulchan Aruch, then Kachin. Let me just finish. It's not really our way. I don't think I've ever read out a poem, our parasha shir. But I remember years and years ago seeing a poem, a very poignant, clever poem. I don't want to read the whole thing out. If anybody wants to email them, I'm more than happy to do so. But it's a very poignant message, and I think is the message of the rainbow. The poem is entitled Mashiach's Hat. It was the night of the Geula, and in every single shtiebel, sounds of Torah could be heard coming from every kind of yidl. And in Shomayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed, the time has come for my children to be freed. I'm not reading every line. The Mashiach got dressed, and with a heart full of glee, he went down to the earth and entered the first shtiebel he did see. I'm the Mashiach. Hashem has heard your plea. Your Geula has come, and it's time to go free. And they all stopped learning. This was quite a surprise. They looked at him carefully with piercing, sharp eyes. He's not the Mashiach, said one with a grin. Just look at his hat, at the pinches and the brim. That's right, said another with a grimace and a frown. Whoever heard of Mashiach with a brim that's down? Well, thought the Mashiach, if that's the rule, I'll turn my brim up before I go to the next shul. So he walked on over to the next shul in town, confident to be accepted, because his brim was no longer down. I'm the Mashiach, he cried as he began to enter. But the Jews first wanted to know, you left, right, or center? Your clothes are so black, they cried out in a fright. You can't be Mashiach, you're much too far right. If you want to be the Mashiach, you've got to be properly outfitted. So they replaced his black hat with a kippah that was knitted. Wearing his new kippah, Mashiach went out and said, well, no difference to me what I wear on my head. So he goes to the next shul. I'm the Mashiach, he cried. And they all stopped to stare. Complete eerie stillness filled the air. You're the Mashiach? Just imagine that. Who ever heard of Mashiach without a black hat? But I do have a hat, the Mashiach then said. So he pulled it right out and put it on his head. The shul started laughing, and one said, well, where's your cup? You can't have Mashiach with a brim that's up. If you want Mashiach, you want to be the Mashiach to be accepted in this town, put some pinches in your hat and turn that brim down. So Mashiach walks out. I guess time has... I'll just have to return from where I... The poem continues, but I think you get the theme. And he tells them, yes, it's wonderful that you all learn Torah, but you seem to have forgotten the crucial part of a Torah. What does he mean? What's he talking about? They all look bewildered and all begin to shout. And Mashiach looked back and answered, the first place to start, to close your mouths and open up your heart. To each of you, certain Yidden seem too frum or too fry, but all Yidden are beloved, Rosh Baruch Hu's eye. And if you really want me to come, try working a little harder on Avas. Of course, it's a moshel. It doesn't matter what the color of Mashiach's hat is or whether he wears a point. It's so important. The point is the message of the rainbow. There are different drochim in Avodas Hashem. There are different colors after that pure white light is indeed refracted. And they're all legitimate as long as they're parallel. Every member of that orchestra, every member of that army, they're all following instructions from the conductor and the army general, from the Rebbeinu Shalom b'chvedo. If we indeed are matzliach in internalizing the message of the rainbow, then we'll be far better placed to be noyeg. That was the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught to Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai. Go back into the cave. Continue your growth in Ruchnius. You're almost there. Because when you reach the highest level, then you'll be able to appreciate there are those who work the land. And that's their Deres Hashem. That's the lesson of the rainbow. After that, Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai knew. So Be'ezus Hashem, try and recall that poem, not to judge people by what color their hat is or whether they wear a hat, to understand and appreciate the different colors, the different drochim avodas Hashem that are all running parallel to each other. Mechazik, that message, of being noagu kovoy zeh bezeh, indeed the Mashiach will deem it the right time to come, and may that indeed be b'mehira.